Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. Now, today on Everyday Black History, we're going to be talking about a man who is a pioneer and a medical researcher. It's because of him that, blood transfusions were readily available years ago in the 1900s. They may not be as popular as they are as they were back then, because there are so many other medical options. But back in the 1900s, especially the early 1900s, when he was around, blood transfusions and blood banks and blood preservation was a very popular and useful thing. That man is Dr. Charles Drew. And Dr. Charles Drew was born June 3rd, 1904, to a middle-class family in Washington, D.C. But he is known and credited for his research in the field of blood transfusions, developing improved techniques for blood storage, and applying his expert knowledge in developing large-scale blood banks early in World War II. And this practice during that time allowed medics to save thousands of lives for the Allied forces during that war. And as a prominent African-American in that field, he was totally against the practice of racial segregation, especially in the donation of blood, because as we all know, it lacks scientific foundation, and he even resigned his position at the Red Cross because of this, because that was the policy that the Red Cross had up until 1950. But he was opposed to racial segregation, especially in the donation of blood, because it's like, come on, you're not going to give a black man or a white person a black person's blood, or vice versa, just because of the color of their skin. But anyway, getting into the episode and just getting into some background history on Dr. Charles Drew. As mentioned, he was born to a middle-class family in Washington, D.C. His father was a carpet layer and his mother was a teacher. And they grew up in the Foggy Bottom neighborhood in Washington, D.C. He graduated from Dunbar High School in 1922 and went to Amherst College in Massachusetts, where he graduated in 1926. While there, he joined one of the premier black fraternities, one of the Divine Nine, the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, and he also attended medical school at McGill University in Montreal, Quebec, receiving his medical degree in 1933 and ranked second in his class of 127 students. He did graduate work at Columbia University as well, where he earned his doctorate of medical science degree, becoming the first African American to do so. He was also had the distinction in 1941 of being recognized when he became the first African American surgeon selected to serve as an examiner on the American Board of Surgery. And he had a lengthy research and teaching career and became a chief surgeon as well as to his medical research and being known for blood storage and things of that nature. But getting into that, in late 1940, before America entered World War II, and just before he earned his doctorate degree, he was recruited to help set up and administer an early prototype program for blood storage and preservation. He was to collect, test, and transport large quantities of blood plasma for distribution in the United Kingdom. He went to New York City as the medical director of the United States Blood for Britain project, which was around during World War II. And it was a project to aid British soldiers and civilians by giving U.S. blood to the United Kingdom, because they are one of America's allies. And he started what would be later known as bloodmobiles, which were trucks containing refrigerators of stored blood, and this allowed for greater mobility in terms of transportation as well as for prospective donations. He created a central location for the blood collection process where donors could go to give blood, and he made sure that all blood plasma was tested before it was shipped out. He ensured that only skilled personnel handled the blood plasma to avoid blood contamination and disease. And the Blood for Britain program operated successfully for 5 months, with total collections of almost 15,000 people donating blood and over 5,500 vials of blood plasma. Because of his success in this, the Blood Transfusion Betterment Association applauded his work, and out of his work came the American Red Cross Blood Bank. So It's because of his work that American Red Cross saw what he was doing and actually started blood banks because of his work. So he actually influenced this organization that's been around for so long. Everyone knows Red Cross. To think that this black man influenced them is amazing. Now, unfortunately, Dr. Charles Drew didn't live a long life. He died April 1st, 1950 at the age of 45, and he died in a car accident. He used to travel to Tuskegee, Alabama to attend the annual free clinic at the John A. Andrew Memorial Hospital. And in 1950, as he was driving along with three other black physicians, because he was fatigued, because he was fatigued the night from spending the night before in the operating theater, he lost control of the vehicle and careened into a field where his car flipped three times. The other three physicians in the car, they escaped with minor injuries, but he was trapped in the car and had very severe injuries. He was taken to the hospital and he died after receiving medical attention on April 1st, 1950, and his funeral was held April 5th, 1950. There's a myth that they say that he died because he didn't receive a blood transfusion because of the fact that he was black. And it was a well-known myth. Many people believe he died because the hospital said there weren't enough Negro beds available, and the nearest hospital only serviced whites. But one of the doctors in the car with him, John Ford, he said that Charles Drew's injuries were so severe that virtually nothing could have been done to save him, and that a blood transfusion might have actually killed him sooner. So he died at a young age, but we can still see, just based off of what we went over, that his work, has changed a lot of lives. Many people received blood transfusions during that time, whenever they had bad accidents or anything of that nature. So his work was very useful during that time in the country. And we can see from his legacy, he was put on a postal stamp in 1981. There's bridges named after him in neighborhoods in D.C., dry cargo Navy ship blocks or avenues in Montreal, Quebec are named after him. And numerous schools and health-related facilities, as well as institutions, have been named in the honor of Dr. Charles Drew. About 10 medical or higher education facilities are named after him, from Howard University and Columbia, South Carolina, University of Rochester, and over 14 schools from kindergarten to 12th grade are named after him all throughout the country, just showing his legacy and his effect on people's lives in this country because of his work. And so because of that, we celebrate him on Everyday Black History for his work, not only to the world and how it changed the world, but especially because he contributed so to black culture because of his work. So Dr. Charles Drew, we salute you for your contribution to black history, and we just happy to be able to talk about it and share the work that you did with the masses. Many people who might not have known who you are in your work, we thank you for your contribution to history, and especially black history. So that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. Please tune in, as we will be having more people and institutions that we'll be honoring. So stay tuned for the next episode. Oh, and please check out my YouTube channel, Everyday Black History. And if you want to support a brother on Anchor, to keep the podcast going, there's ways you can donate to support and keep the podcast going. But I appreciate all the support and the listens, and please continue. But stay tuned for the next episode.